Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the historian who's been documenting all of this for us. Luke chapter 2, this is the, as what people call the Christmas story, the nativity story, Jesus' birth. Luke has given us the background with John the Baptist. He's given us the background about the angels visiting Mary to announce what's happening. And this week he takes us into the actual birth evening of Jesus with all the events there. So Luke chapter 2, if you're at home or you're here, you know, you may open up your Bibles, you may open up your tablets, your phones, click, swipe, click, whatever you need to do, but we're in Luke chapter 2. In those days, and here's Luke again, putting it into a time and place for us, so this is not a myth, he dates it for us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, and they'll be playing a key part in our message this morning, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, that today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in the manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is God's word for us to be encouraged by, to be taught by, and to be strengthened by today. Let's pray together. And on this, what we call Christmas Sunday, but of this day of worship to you, God, I thank you once again that you are the one and only true God, of whom and with whom nobody or nothing else can be compared. It's our foundation. It's our faith. It's our trust. So that no matter how shaken, how bruised, how broken our worlds may be under normal circumstances, let alone today, God, we can fall back upon you, knowing that you will always be there. And I thank you that in Luke's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, we have this account of Jesus' birth. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the story of Jesus' life, the account of you placing a flag into our human history to remind us that who you are. And out of your love and mercy, you provided a way of salvation for us, a way of healing our relationship with us, a way of finding our way back home to you, a way of forgiveness for our sins, a way of hope, the way of Christ. And I would pray in this week of the year, especially, God, when Our focus is in so many different places, on so many different things. You would lift us to see the hope of Christ once again. That in the reality of this birth of Jesus, your only Son, you provide that glimmer of hope to each of us who would welcome and receive him as Christ, as Savior and Lord. I thank you for that truth which resonates, which stands the test of time, and has the ability to change our lives, and has the ability to heal us physically, spiritually, and emotionally in all the ways that we need it. And we continue to pray for the physical healing for those who are in need of it, who are suffering under this time, for the emotional healing for those who are lost and alone and abandoned or feeling abandoned during this season of the year. We pray for healing of families, of restoration of relationships that have been ripped and torn by our own brokenness. And most importantly, we pray for our own spiritual healing that comes through Christ as Savior and Lord, not just in the manger, but to the cross, to the tomb, and to the right hand of God. So during this season, God, especially right now, help us to have that focus on our minds and give thanks to you for all you've done and all that you are and all you will continue to do for us and with us and through us because of your love for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a side wager going on this morning by the worship team as to at what point during the sermon this morning I will knock this off the table. So if you want to get in on that, see 10 during the course of the morning. It's Christmas Sunday, so the question for us all, are you a person of only ifs or as long as in your life? Are you a person of only ifs or as long as in your life? And under normal conditions, it may go something like this. I will come to dinner tonight only if Bob isn't coming. Or I will help you on this project at work as long as I can be in charge. Does any of that resonate with you or sound familiar to any of us? Some of those only ifs and as long as are not life-threatening or life-changing, but it seems this year especially they become harder and harder. I will celebrate Christmas this year as long as, fill in your own blank. Or I will have joy this Christmas only if, fill in your own blank. As I was working on this again this morning very early, I really struggled with the theme for the morning, because the theme of the morning is joy. We talked about that at the Advent candle. We'll be singing about it. And I want to just acknowledge up front, I know this has been a hard year for so many people. And it's taken its toll on family health and mental health and financial health. And I really want to just be honest and say it's time to drop the happy Jesus myth. The happy Jesus faces that we carry along. Because there are so many people who are smiling and yet dying on the inside. And maybe if that's not your story, just to recognize that there are people around you who are doing that. They're saying life's okay when in fact inside they're just shriveling up. And it almost seems tone deaf this year especially to be talking about joy when there's just so much around us seems to be robbing us, wanting to rob us, suck the joy out of our life. But the truth is, God was not tone deaf to us. That in our time of greatest need, whether that's today or last year or last, in our time of greatest need, God still speaks a message of joy to us and for us. So I want to help us this morning, maybe help unpack that this year especially. How do I welcome Christmas into my life? Not with the stress of our current conditions, not with the guilt or the fear, not with resignation. I want us to be able to own our own individual situations, but knowing, owning my situation, God still has a message of joy he wants to deliver to each one of us. To speak into our lives, to speak into our brokenness, to speak into our pain, to speak into all that we are experiencing, and know that message of joy still has the power to resonate and bring hope. A lot of people I know this year facing Christmas, if you watch any of the Christmas specials, the old ones, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I love that one. But, you know, on the Island of Misfit Toys, it's Christmas Eve, and, you know, Charlie in the Box toys sitting there saying, well, I guess Santa has forgotten us again this Christmas. It's time to just go to sleep and then, you know, wake up tomorrow dreaming about next Christmas. I don't want us to dream about next Christmas. I want us to face the reality of this Christmas, that in our current situation, God's message of joy still has the ability and the power to bring hope. And you don't have to wait for next year for that. It begins right here, right now, because the message, the reality, the birth of Jesus hasn't changed. And you can begin to welcome and be surprised by the joy that Christmas brings once again. By marching boldly into it, broken and bruised and all that we are this year, because the joy, the miracle, the peace, the hope of Christmas is still there, is still to be shouted, is still to be proclaimed. Isaiah in the Old Testament, the prophet in Isaiah 52 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, that's the gospel, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say, your God reigns. And you're literally saying, God has now taken the throne, all is right in the world, hang on and have hope. And that child, that baby Jesus in the manger was God's flag in the point of history to say, I have not forgotten you. And you are still loved right where you are. And the hope that comes again, knowing that there is a ruler who's in charge that you can trust, being God himself, who can rule justly and perfectly, has the power to bring change, can give us hope. And so joy comes from the miracle of Jesus' birth, because that's exactly what God has done and offers us, is hope and joy. And this Christmas, will I allow my search for joy lead me to that manger and not away from it? Because it's so easy to run. It is so easy to abandon. It is so easy to just say, God, it's not worth it. But this season, especially, to run to that manger. And not run away from it. God's message of joy resonates and speaks into every dark time in our history. It always has. The birth of Jesus, the times of Jesus were dark. And, you know, Luke does that in the first verse in chapter 2. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken the entire Roman world. This was a dark time for the Jews at the time where Jesus was born. God's people were under hostile oppression, and some were rising up now in armed combat. The Zealots were now this religious political party that rose up in response to this census and the taxation and the overburden of government that was coming upon them. And it is in those dark times, even as it is God's perfect time to bring a message of joy. And he uses those dark times to set up, to remind us of how powerful his joy is. Micah chapter 5, when the prophecies from the Old Testament says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. See, God's message of joy doesn't spring up most of the time in the places that we look for it or expect it. Here it comes now in this tiny town, backwater town of Bethlehem. And many times God's message of joy comes at an unlikely time and an unlikely place in an unlikely way. And that's what's happening here in Bethlehem on this night. And that this Christmas you can still find joy by knowing that God still intervenes. This is God's perfect staging. Because again, so many times this message of joy, his intervention comes in at unlikely times. Look at when he sets this up. Verses 9 and 10. He's announcing the king of the universe, the king of all creation, is now being born at night in a field to shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, Luke says. And the glory of the Lord shone upon them, the shepherds. They were terrified. And you hear this theme over and over again. We're talking about it again in another minute. This balance, this contraposition in Scripture about being terrified and the fear being replaced by the joy of God. It goes back and forth three times in the Christmas story. Don't be afraid. Joy's here. Don't be afraid. God's here. Don't be afraid. Hope's here in God. But the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy. That would be for all the people. See, God's intervention was an infusion of joy when it was least expected, just like it may be now for you. And that's hard for us because we so often confuse joy with happiness. We do. We think joy equals happiness, happiness equals joy. One can bring the other doesn't necessarily bring the other. Happiness is a feeling, is a showing of pleasure. It is a contentment, being satisfied, something right. It's an emotion, which is determined by my circumstances, my mood, or my ability, which all change. We're all emotional beings. Our emotions can change. They swing back and forth, and our happiness swings back and forth. What are our emotions? But joy in Scripture is always linked to the power and the presence and the intervention of God into somebody's life or their circumstances. Let me say that again. Joy in Scripture is always linked to the intervention of God into somebody's life or their circumstances with power and with his presence. Joel chapter 2 says, be not afraid. Again, here's this contrast. Be not afraid, be glad and rejoice because God has done great things. Because of what God has done, I don't need to be afraid. Because of God of who he is, I don't need to be afraid. Because of God's love, compassion, and mercy, I do not need to fear. Last week we talked about Mary in her great song, her Magnificat, saying, surely God has already done great things. See, joy consistently through Scripture is linked to God's intervention. And when God intervenes, my fear is removed from me. And it is replaced with his joy. Three times in the Christmas story alone. Zechariah, stop being afraid. Shepherds, stop being afraid. Mary, stop being afraid. Because God's intervening. Because God's here, because God's presence, because his love, his hope, his grace, his joy is now invading your life. And when it does, my relationship with him is restored. And now joy stems and comes from me back to God. God intervenes with joy to me. I respond back to God with joy when I respond to that intervention. It's not emotion-based. It's not people-driven. It's what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do. If you and I are only relying upon our circumstances every year, every day, but especially this year for joy, we're going to be disappointed. Because life and circumstances has a way of overwhelming our joy. A couple of weeks ago, I will confess, this is one of my character faults and strengths at the same time. And I'm an obsessive person. I am. And that's a real strength and sometimes a weakness as well. I will be the person who walks up to your desk and say, okay, now that's right. But I was looking at our new parking lot. I was looking how it emptied onto the street and that space out there. I said, man, that needs something. It needs something on Route 27. It needs something to people drive by and maybe just feel a little bit better about the Christmas season. So obsessively, I went out one night, went to Lowe's, bought some PVC piping, made a frame. We had a church sign from last year that said "Searching for Christmas Joy," and said, "Okay." And then I went out and I bought this big three-letter sign of joy. So I went out there one day, put it out there, put it up, put some lights on it. Looked great the first night, and then we had our first snowstorm. This is what's left. See, your circumstances, and you know this, have a way of just plowing over your joy if they're only based upon our emotions and our own ability to drum it up. God's joy never leaves because it's based upon Him. His intervention, His power, His presence, His gift to us. And now I respond to that. I also want to create a whole new line of signs that say, "Welcome to New England. Winter storm warning from November to April. Deal with it." It is. See, your life will always run the risk of being plowed over by your circumstances and rob your joy. But discovering my joy, retaining my joy, comes from my focus of my joy remains in the manger with Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes we need to be reminded of it. We'll find it in unlikely places. And here's God again in His great way of staging things, only He can. That message of joy to the shepherds. He doesn't tell them to go to the palace to find joy. He tells them to go to the paddock. Not to the places of power, but to the places where normal, common people live. Not to the bright lights, but to the stable. Verse 6, when they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Why did God choose this setting? I wouldn't have. If I'm getting a message of joy out, if I'm getting a message that's going to change the world, if I'm getting a message out that will change the course of human history, I'm not going to put it in a stable. I'm not going to put it in the middle of a backwater, backwoods town. I want to put it someplace where people are going to see it boldly. It would have been a bigger impact if it was in Jerusalem, a larger audience in the temple, more opportunities if it happened during one of the great Jewish feasts. You would not normally search for joy here, and yet this is where God chooses to intervene and place it. Because most of us don't live in the palaces. Most of us don't live in the bright lights. Most of us don't live on the mountaintops. We live in the normal gray twilight of our everyday life. And that's exactly where God's message of joy intervenes and comes into our lives and speaks to us in our normal life. On Easter, the crucifixion would happen in the center of life so that all would see what would happen to Christ and be witness to not only His death but His resurrection. But here God shows up in the normal life of everybody that we all live in. Isaiah 53, again, the prophet talking about Jesus, the Messiah to come, he said He had no former majesty. We should look at Him. No beauty that we should desire Him. You would not have thought about finding the Savior of the world and salvation here in Bethlehem on this night. You would have looked in Herod's palace, Caesar's palace. You would have looked in the places of power. But yet God has His way again of turning our view, our priorities upside down. See, Jesus came in common form into a common world because that's where I live every day. And joy comes from knowing that into my boring, drab, everyday world, God stooped down to save me. He didn't ask me to come up to Him, but He stoops down in the manger to save me. And I stoop down to receive Him. So sometimes wonder what was that going on in Mary and Joseph's mind in that night in that manger, in that stable in which Jesus is born. What happened? If there was a midwife, there may not have been. This may have just been Mary and Joseph there. But if the midwife left, it's just them there. What are they thinking? Are they thinking of like typical parents? Are they looking at this baby, you know, watching him sleep, watching him nurse, counting his fingers and toes? What are they thinking as normal human parents? Did they pray? Did they recite the Old Testament prophecies? Did they look at wonder and say, Son of God? See, this was no plastic Jesus in the manger that night. This was God himself, before whom nations would fall and people would run to his teachings. For whom some would betray him, some would torture him, some would eventually kill him. Would they have taken time that night again to rehearse and to ponder all the scripture that they would know about the kind of life the Messiah would live and the kind of death he would suffer? And as young parents, what are you thinking? I would hope they would be amazed that in this baby all that would happen, and that God had chosen them. A carpenter, teenage mother, to change the face of the world. This Christmas Eve, many families will gather around the wreath twice the night before Christmas. I want to encourage us again, wherever you are, we'll be here at 6 o'clock. But take time to read the biblical story of Jesus. Because 'twas the night is fun, but it's not going to save you. 'Twas the night is, you know, and it's just a fun thing to do with their family. It's not going to bring you hope. It's entertaining, but it's not life-changing. This manger, this baby is. Because in this manger is where true joy is found and always will be found. This Christmas and next Christmas and Christmases from now on until Christ comes again. And I need to be reminded of that because, again, this year, so many people will be looking for joy in the same places we always have in the past. I mean, I go back in my mind again. I've talked a bit before about, you know, I think of joy at Christmas, and I always go back to my roots as a kid, back in my Italian family, and all that happened that on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and just all the noise and the maelstrom of food and family and commotion, all this stuff. That was great. It affected my life, but it didn't change my life. This joy does. Many this year are going to look back to the full family table, the loud and noisy house, the cornucopia of sheer consumer avarice underneath the Christmas tree, and say, where's joy? And it's not there. Every year it seems that people, shoppers, are panicked because there's that one thing you can't get. And every year it changes. This year it was PS5s. And people were just out of their minds because scalpers were buying them up online and then reselling them for 3 times their value. If that's where your joy is, you're always going to be disappointed. Because even when you receive those things, that temporary joy is replaced by the reality of the bills in January and our normal life again. Are you searching for joy this Christmas? Then my challenge for us and God's challenge for each of us is to look down to see God's intervention in that grimy manger in the birth of his son. It was not tied up with pretty bows, but it was filled with the love and the grace of God, who's given into the normal custody of normal people like you and I, just as God's gift always will be for all who would receive it. And one of the greatest paradoxes of God's joy is the more you give it away, the more you receive it. That's not our joy. Our joy is the more I get, the more joy I have. God's paradox is the more joy I get from God, the more I give away, the more I get back. See, we're taught that we can keep, you know, what I have, accumulate as much as I have. I mean, all of us may be starting on there. I started my Christmas cookie cooking binge. I got them all there. And this is great. You start, you know, stuffing yourselves with all those treats, and by the middle of January, you're ready to throw them all out because you're sick of them. See, God's gift of joy never becomes stale in my life unless I refuse or I stop giving it away. That's what happens here in the Christmas Eve, too, with the story. The first joy givers here were the angels to the shepherds. Verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Angels show up as the first joy messengers from God to the shepherds. And they deliver God's messages of peace and all the other messages from God throughout Scripture. But here is the message of joy. To the middle of the night, to normal shepherds again, no fear this time, just joy. Because God has come. One of the names given to Jesus is, you would call him Emmanuel. God with us. Joy with us. Jesus with us. Message of joy. And the shepherds take that. And they go to find Jesus. And notice what they don't do. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they've been told about this child. All who heard it were amazed what the shepherds said to them. They get the message of joy delivered to them by the angels. They go to the manger and they find Jesus in the stable. And see what they don't do. They don't camp out for the weekend. They don't set up a coffee station. They don't set up a buffet line. They don't go out to buy comfortable chairs. They don't do all the things that we sometimes associate with what happens when we find Jesus. We camp out. They don't. They come. They see. They take the message of joy. And they go out to share. The message that Christ the Lord, not the teacher, not the prophet, but God the Messiah, Savior, Lord Jesus has come. The message of joy they get, they see, they receive, and now they go out to share. Atlantic Monthly magazine a few years ago put out an article about Jesus this time of year, and they said, the authors of Scripture did not view Jesus as Christ. This is their conclusion. The authors of Scripture did not view Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed One, or the Redeemer who atoned for sins by his crucifixion, or the Son of God who rose from the dead. Instead, he was just a wandering sage, preached of life full of acceptance of one's fellow beings. That Jesus has no joy to give you that can change your life, either in this world or the next. Because it has no power to grant you eternity. It has no power to reshape, remold your life in this world. It has no power to gain you access to God himself. It's only because this Jesus is God himself, the Son of God, the Messiah, come to live a life, suffer on the cross for our sins, and offer forgiveness to us, to be killed, to die, to rise again on the third day, to prove all of this is true. Matthew 1:21 says, she will give birth to a son. You're to name him Jesus because he will save people from their sins. There's the joy again. And there's no joy in Christmas unless you find joy in Jesus as Savior and Lord. The message, shepherds receive the message. They see it's true. And they don't go back to the fields, but they go out to share what they've seen, what they've been told. And joy grows in us and through us the more we tell about the joy that you and I have found in Christ. And this year especially, people need to hear and see and experience a message of joy that lasts, joy that is eternal, and that will be found in our lives as we share what God has done in my life, as I have received that message of Christ, that message of his joy into my life. And that means we have a message of joy that's honest. An honest joy this year especially says, you know, I'm having a hard time. This is not what I would have anticipated. This is not what I wanted this Christmas. My life is really hard. But let me tell you about where my hope is. Let me tell you about where my joy is. Let me tell you what I have to hang on to. Let me tell you about Jesus in my life. My anchor, my hope, my Savior, my Lord, and my trust that He is with me through all that I am going through. And that gives me joy. That's honest joy. And that's the joy we need to be sharing with ourselves and with each other. Mary's message, again, He will be called great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, His kingdom, His kingdom will never end. That's the message of joy that's life-changing. And if you're looking for joy this Christmas, that's where you're going to find it. And if you have that message of joy, tell somebody about it. Because there's somebody who's sitting next to you, working next to you, living next to you, across the street from you, who is suffering more than you are this Christmas. And they need to know that there's hope. They need to know there's joy. They need to know that there's a tomorrow they can hang on to. They need to know that Jesus. See, God's message of joy starts in heaven. It traveled to the manger. It enters my life. And it goes out to be shared with all that we meet. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord. Don't be surprised by Jesus' birth. Be surprised what Jesus' birth can do in you and through you as Savior and Lord. And the joy that God brings through that to you and through you is life-changing to all that you will meet. Let's pray. God in heaven, I do just do thank you that your message of joy resonates throughout history, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of what I'm seeing, facing, experiencing, that message is still there. This Christmas especially, may I not go by without receiving that message of joy, that message of Christ, that message of Savior, of Lord into my life. And may I be a messenger of that joy to others around me who desperately need it. And may my joy be honest. In the midst of my own struggles, may my joy be real. Which says, I know that in and through all I'm going through, God, you're still the same. Jesus still is the same. Christmas is still the same. Hope is still the same. And so I hold on until my life again catches up to the reality of the joy you've given me. Thanks, God, for being the God that we can count upon and trust. And I pray for your joy into my life and all of our lives this Christmas even season, and through our lives into the lives of others. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.